listen, I want you really to listen to this. There's been a lot of nice things said about Point of Hope, and a lot of nice things said about me, and I so appreciate it, but nothing's impossible unless it's through Jesus Christ. Amen? And to him all the glory. And he's the one that made the transformation in my life that I want to give the glory to. And I love it when he motivates us to move and be and do all things, to go where we need to go, and that we do listen to the Lord. When Debbie shared that about that place that we went, it was the most phenomenal thing. And it truly was. It was more than just a witch's coven that was up there. They had been on the island. They had moved. And there was a tribal chief leader that came and got me and took me out to where they were meeting. And the Lord said, they're not here anymore. And I didn't even know it was going on. Geographically, if you go straight across from Seattle, Washington, that goes right in that same parameter as Washington State, this place called Prince of Wales. So it's an awesome place to live. It's got the most biggest, beautifulest trees. You know, where I'm more northern and the trees are a lot smaller, they suffer the cold weather in some of the area that I'm in. So they don't get very big. They kind of get spindly, and you ought to see them at Christmas. In fact, I got to tell you a funny story. One of Debbie's daughters, it was her youngest daughter, she went off to college. No, she didn't go to college. She was in her senior year of high school. And Debbie was off somewhere, and Debbie was thinking about not putting a Christmas tree up. And Emily said, let me get a Christmas tree. Let me do it. Debbie says, well, I bought one. It's down under the house. She says, well, I'll set it up for you. So Debbie gets back and walks in the house and looks at that tree, and she couldn't believe it. Because what Emily did is when she put that tree together, she didn't put all the branches in it. She tried to make it like our local trees in Alaska. And so there were sides of that tree that had no limbs. Isn't that cute? Wasn't that funny, Debbie? She goes, well, I didn't know any better. She didn't. That's it was a big deal to throw some chili and some hot chocolate and some thermoses and get the snowshoes and go out in the Moose Range and find a Christmas tree. And it was really a challenge to find a Christmas tree that you could walk around it, and it had a lot of branches. So, you know, you just had to try to find the best one. A lot of people, what they do is figure out how to get taller and, you know, get up there higher and cut a tree off. And I didn't want to do that. If we're going to get a tree, let's get a tree. Let's not leave a part tree out there. That was one of my rules at home. But anyway, that's a little rabbit trail. I just want you to know that this place that we went to in Prince of Wales, when he took me down on that point and said, this is where they come down and do their practices, I said, well, the Lord said they're not meeting here anymore. They must be somewhere else on the island. And it's not for me to deal with it this time. But he will send me back. And then he told me some other things. And because I remember I was walking away from the site, and this native leader was running after me, and I stopped, and the Lord was speaking to me, and I stopped. And by the way, do you know the Lord speaks to you? Do you believe that? I know that some of you are going to go out the door and you're going to wonder, does God really talk to her like that? He absolutely does. He absolutely does. When I read the book of Joshua, there's Joshua on the banks of the Jordan River, and he's mourning. He's literally mourning because his whole life was supporting Moses. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells about how Moses had laid hands on Joshua because he knew he was going to be going pretty soon, and he imparted the spirit of wisdom on Joshua. The spirit of wisdom is what it says. And I like to think the Point of Hope conferences a couple years ago, this was in a letter that went out, that I long to see you and lay hands on you and impart some gift. It says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul is saying that. I long to come and see you to lay my hands on you to impart some gift. Amen? That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do this weekend. Amen? But that's what happened with Joshua. And there Joshua is on the banks. And pretty soon God says, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Well, of course he's dead. He knows that. He's waiting there on the bank for the strategy. I'm very acquainted with that, by the way, you guys. I'm very acquainted with that. I'm going to be talking about the gauntlet tomorrow night. I'm going to be talking about the fire tunnel tomorrow night. I'm going to be talking about sifting tomorrow night. Amen? And you're going to be very familiar with my walk and testimony as we go through that gauntlet. You're going to be a part of it. Amen? And afterwards, there's going to be something that happens inside of you that you'll never have an experience again, that you would never, ever doubt the presence of God in your life in those circumstances. Amen? I am so excited because of what God showed me. Amen? But back to Joshua, there he is on the bank. This is big. It's a big deal. And he's got millions waiting. What are we going to do? There's the land of the milk and the honey, but maybe we should go back to Egypt where we can get the leeks. They were scared. And God gave Joshua the true strategy. And God said over and over again, be strong of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Everywhere your feet go, I'm going to give it to you. Amen? Everywhere your feet go. And this last year, that's all he's been doing is talking to me about Joshua. Now, that's what it says in the Bible. God was talking to Joshua. Was he talking to him audibly? It doesn't say. Was he putting thoughts into his mind? It doesn't say. All I know is God communicated with Joshua and gave him the true strategy to take the land. Are you listening? That's what this year is about. Are you listening? Amen? So when I was walking away and I told the gentleman, I said, they're not here anymore, but it's not, God said, it's not time for me. I will come back and we'll find them. They're still here. And I was walking away, and it was kind of funny in a way. I was glad it was him and not me, because I'm such a big chicken. But as we were walking away, I'm faced this way toward the road to get back out of there, and the Lord says, but you need to tell him this. Tell him that I'm going to start restoring their children of Prince of Wales back to Prince of Wales. The doctors, the lawyers, the dentists, they were going to start coming back to Prince of Wales. Speak it into being, that which isn't as if it is. And he says another thing. He said, I want you to tell him they're about to find an ancient find. I don't know if you ever get lippy with God. I question him all the time. I do. And I said, oh, yeah, how ancient? That's how I responded to him. I went, how ancient? And he said, try 5,000 years. I said, 5,000 years? And he said, yes, they're about to find a King David find. King David heir find. Now, listen, I don't have to sit around and figure out these things or play games, and I'm not playing games with you. Your time is valuable. I want you to listen. Go ahead and let God finish my sentences. So I turned around to my friend, Frank, and I told him what God said. And he was standing there wanting to tell me some negative things about the island and some things that their people have been robbed of, and they have been robbed. And when he did, I guess God just wanted to put it into that right away, because the next thing I know, the biggest black Newfoundland dog just comes leaping up and goes to jump up on him. He just thinks he's a little puppy, but Frank thought a black bear had him. it was him and not me, because I probably wet my pants. I mean, I just tell you, that would have scared me to death. But I'd already seen the dog. I mean, when I was leaving, I saw it in its yard. But it did. It just... And I mean, it's giant. You know Newfoundland. It's a great big black thing. And Frank's shore. And that dog came right up with his shoulder, paws on his shoulders like this. And all I know is Frank didn't know which way to run. He just started screaming like a little girl. And I was so excited it wasn't me. That's all I could think of is not me. Because, I mean, I'll tell you what. You say snake or spider and I'm gone, man. That door better be unlocked or the window's going to get broken. I'm getting out of here. Anyway, so, and it was true that later, I think it was like 8 or 9 months later, I'm going to say 8 or 9 months later, we went back. But what happened was I was just really getting acquainted with the real Debbie Andres. She had this wall, this facade that... She didn't let anybody get near. She never wanted to be hurt again. And I think we kind of met up a little bit while I was over there on that island for different reasons. But the next time I went over there, and it was a little while, the thing that happened was I had a vision about I was going back over there. I had a dream I was wearing this little tiny red backpack. And that really surprised me, because I was born with an infirmity that I couldn't wear anything on my back. And so that really surprised me that I had the dream about this little red backpack. And an elder in my church, who is a very dear friend, very prophetic, he comes to me just maybe about 2 months before I'm going to go, and he says, Nancy, I keep getting this word from the Lord. And see, I didn't tell anybody about this, by the way. He says, I keep getting this word from the Lord that you're going to be going back to Prince of Wales Island, and I see you in the hills with a red backpack on your back. And he said, I believe that God's going to send you back over there to uproot something that's hidden. And I went outside. I went and did ministry, I think, in West Virginia or New Jersey. A little bit around D.C., but in New Jersey, and we ended up in New York. And a friend of mine, they all took off that morning to go get stuff, and one of my friends came back, and of course none of them knew about this, came back with this little Samsonite red backpack. This is the cutest thing. And it was very, very light. I thought, well, I could put my lipstick in it. So anyway, then it, you know, I think that in between this, you know, he had the vision, and I told you last night that one of my friends, one of my elders, died while I was in Ohio, and I said he talked to me 10 minutes before he died. His wife, we got it hooked up so he could talk to me, and he said, you need to finish what God told you, what God started in you. You need to finish it. That was what he was relating to, is what she was talking about. And he died 10 minutes later. He had pancreas cancer. I mean, he didn't know he had it. He was dead within 3 weeks or less. It was very, very soon. And so I knew that I was committed in every which way. And we did go over there. And we did end up going through a chain-length locked cemetery that just seemed all of a sudden to be unlocked. We got in there. It was locked when we went to leave, but suddenly it wasn't locked anymore. What did we find out? You know, the reason I'm telling this isn't because we found the witches' coven and where they actually were there very recently and had been doing blood offerings, and there were feathers and guts and stuff, and they had honed out of trees the seats, and they were out over the little bit of the bluff what they were doing, and another one you could see where they were doing the offerings, the sacrifices. That was all something else. But what it really was is several 100 years ago or more, that was where the Indians over there would come from the other island. That was when the land masses were still land masses and they hadn't been separated by the water. That's how long ago it was. It was so long ago, it was 5,000 years ago. And that was when the tribes around the world were traveling over through Russia and come right down into Alaska, and the land masses were still all connected. And they found caves over there that they had 5,000-year-old ancient findings of King David on that island. Isn't that powerful? Just like God said. And that place that we went to was where they used to do ancient sacrifices, and the Indians would come across that water and go to that point, and they bring in their live sacrifices, and they had that weird thing down there, that meal thing, what they did sacrifices on, and it was that special stone that is as sharp as a knife. You touch it, it will cut you. That's the stone that was all around there, because the vision I kept having is them doing the sacrifices, and they were shoving them through this hole, and when they would go down, it was like they were splitting in 1,000 pieces. And that's what was going on there, that those ancient stones were still there. Sarah Tartar had gone down to put salt in the water. We were doing all kinds of prophetic acts. The wind wasn't just blowing. It was pouring down raining. We were soaked. The wind was blowing, I mean, to beat hell. That's how bad it was blowing, and it consistently blew like that all the time. And never stopped at that point because of the curse on that land for the innocent blood that was poured out. I knew why I was there. And we tore that all up, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and all of a sudden the skies opened up, and all of a sudden the sun came through, and all of a sudden birds were singing. It was life. We cleaned it up. They never went back there again. Now, that word got out through intercessors. So there was a gentleman over there, that a man that is into land and all of that, and he got on a plane. He chartered a plane. He flew over there. He got a camera. He was going to go back there. Either he was going to prove me right, prove me wrong. He loved me, but he just thought it was pretty far fetched. Well, he brought the pictures back, and he said, you know, I love you, but I'll tell you what, I love you and respect you so much. Number one, I don't know how you ladies found it. I don't know how you found it, how you got up there, how you didn't hurt yourselves. Amen? And the people of Prince of Wales said that that particular area, the wind has not really ever blown there since. Amen? So when she says the community changed because of the blessings that were coming in there, the reason that that community changed was because all these different entities were in the community. They went to school together. They worked together. A few maybe went to church together, but they never integrated. They never did. And the first time that I got invited to go down there and speak, I remember calling in advance and saying, please, before I come down, would you do me a favor? Would you get a couple of the tribal leaders and ask them to meet me before I even give one word or read out of the Bible? I want their permission to speak in their land. And I was as sincere as I could be. And guess what? They were there, one in particular. And since then, it has just been pulling us together. We have one thing in common when we bring Point to Hope in there and we do conferences like this. The community form an alliance and we come together. Different backgrounds, from conservative to charismatic, from Alaska Native to foreigners from England. There's been people from England that have come in there. There have been people from all over the world that come in there, and they cross the borders. The youth comes in there. The age comes in there. Sometimes when I look in the back of the room in one church that I use, because we kind of move around to keep it fair. But anyway, I'm looking in the back of the room, and there's a foyer back there, and there's like three or four pastors that are not going to sit in that sanctuary with those other pastors. Heaven forbid, their elbows might rub, and they have brought their own chairs, and they're sitting out in the foyer, clanked back like this, watching me. How can that be? Isn't that awesome? Am I telling the truth, girls? It's powerful. Amen? And God has blessed Ketchikan. And do you know that most of the awesome prophets and teachers of the Word of God in America, that is one of their targets in the USA, is to go to Ketchikan or Anchorage, Alaska. You want to know why? Because most of them say when they hit the atmosphere of Alaska, they feel the presence of God up there. Amen? And our country, our state, is the most generous state you would ever step into. They are the most giving, loving people. And it doesn't matter if they never lived there and they just came within a short time. It just starts happening. It's really awesome to minister in my state. Amen? Amen? How's that for a testimony? Amen. Let's be about the Father's business. Amen? Yes. Let me be about the Father's business. As I crank up here, I'm going to wear some high heels tomorrow night. Okay. I want to, for those of you, and there's a handful in you that haven't heard this part of it, but I can't go into tomorrow and Saturday night without setting the foundation of the theme. And as you look around the room, you see back here in Proverbs 2:2, let your ears listen to the wisdom, apply your heart to the understanding. We brought this banner back, such as the kingdom of God is our children. Amen? This one over here, Lamentations 3:23-24. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. This one over here, this one blesses me. Behold how good it is, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Psalms 133. And then listen to the sound. Listen to the sound. We've got it up here, too. Listen to the sound. So I'm going to launch into what God said about this year and how you all are a part to make that happen. Amen? You ever experienced birthing? I'm not speaking a foreign language. Well, I'll tell you, the beginning of this week, I slept excellent. I woke up in the morning, and I just cried. And cried. I was concerned, is something wrong at home? I mean, it was like something inside of me. I just kept weeping. Somebody called me to check on me. I didn't want them to be concerned because I didn't know what I was crying about. I wasn't going to tell them. And I couldn't wait for them to get off the phone. I felt like when I was on the phone with them, I was at a movie, and it was really sad, and I couldn't wait to get out the door and cry all the way home. You know that feeling? Come on, I know I'm not the only one, especially you guys. You think you're so tough. Anyway, so I got off the phone, and I just put my head down, and I just sobbed and sobbed, and I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Is this too much for me? And the Lord said, oh, Nancy. You're birthing for me. You're birthing my purposes, my kingdom for Georgia. You think about that, how much he does love you. And yes, I can go anywhere in the United States. You have no idea how much I turn down because it's not of God. It's not him asking me. Amen? So anyway, I went, okay, you know, and it lifted, and it just kept lifting and lifting. So what is God's purposes for you? Why are you here this weekend? What is God going to do with you? What have you brought here to contribute to what God's purposes are? Just wait and see. You're not going to be disappointed. I guarantee you, tomorrow night if you come back, you're not going to be the same. And you're going to help me with what we're doing. Amen? He's got an awesome strategy that will change your life forever, I promise you. Just what he told me has changed me. Amen? So, 2013, September 4th, I'm on my way to the airport. I'm leaving a hotel in Atlanta, and the Lord begins to speak a word into me, and that word is very, very clear and very, very sharp to me. He said, Nancy, this is a year of my sound, and I want you to tell everyone to be listening. You know, he told us last year he was doing the shift. We're still in the shift. He says either you're going to shift or you're going to drift. There's a scripture that relates to that. Can I share it with you? Because my buddies are down here, and they have not heard this. They want to hear some good stuff, huh? What does it say? It's out of Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must get the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. What have you heard? What are you willing to listen to? What is compelling you? What is drawing you? Amen? And we have gone through a shift. 2013 was all about a shift. We're still shifting. And now it's moved into sifting. I've shifted you. You're in a new place. Guess what? You picked up some crud. I'm going to sift it. Are you willing to be sifted? What did he do with Simon? And by the way, that was in the later book of Simon, and he gave him the name Peter, supposedly clear back in the beginning chapters of Matthew. Matthew 9, maybe. I think it's Matthew 9. But he said, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you. But I'm going to protect you. Amen? Yeah, you want to know about the gauntlet. You're going to want to know about the gauntlet and what you're fighting for the kingdom of God in you. Amen? It's not about Debbie, and it's not about me fighting the kingdom of God for you. It's for me. And you got your own battle, and you got to fight it. What's that song? You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. No one else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. I'm telling you, you're going to have to walk it by yourself. Remember that. He took me on one of those trips one time. I don't know if I ever told you guys. I'd gone over to the Kuskokwim, and I'd spent much time over there, and it was very, very successful. And I finally get to a place I can get to phone to call home and check on Henry and let him hear my voice. And Henry's in the hospital. He had pneumonia. He almost died. And I carried on. But have you ever been angry at God? I think this is the only time I've ever been angry with God, and I have a lot of reasons to be angry, but I can't muster it up. But I mustered it up this day, and a bunch of us, there must have been 30, 40 of us, we went up on this hillside, and I've got a witness in the room with me here that knows this happened, and it scared everybody to death. But I was up there with them. There was a meridian. I was supposed to go up there and pray. You could see the Kuskokwim up on the mountainside. We were above tree level. Up on this rock, I finished what God, that was the last thing I had to do before I could get on a plane and get home to my husband. I'm holding it down inside of me. I'm about to explode. I've never been so angry at God in my life. I've lost a child. I've been sick. I have a daughter that was in a head-on. She's mentally ill. My husband has cancer. You know, there's a lot of things that I could be mad about, get angry about. People rejecting me, misunderstanding me. It's like, God, why did you do that? You asked me to do that, and then they reject me. He said, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. He puts me in my perspective. Back in perspective. But anyway, I was walking, coming down the mountain, and I was walking with a couple, and they were in a conversation, and I just kept walking, and our distance kept getting further and further. In fact, I looked back, they were right there. I'd take a couple steps, they seemed like they were way back, they were like a block back, and the next thing you know, those 30, 40 people that were up, I don't even remember how many were up there, they're all gone. No, I can't see them. I can't hear them. And all of a sudden, I'm looking on either side of me, and I've got tree level, way tall, and it's like I'm walking in this dense forest by myself, and I'm walking along. At first, I'm not thinking too much about it. I'm not thinking, wait a minute, there weren't any trees when I came up here. None of that. I was just walking along because I was so self-focused, and in this battle with God, he dealt with me this way. So I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, he says, you gotta walk this valley by yourself right now, Nancy. And I mean, it became darker. It scared me. because they were telling me bear stories. They're always talking about bear stories. And I've read lots of books about bears, and I know bears are so strong, they just go whack like that, and your head goes that way. You know, they just take one bite, and it's over with. You know, I'm in bear country. I mean, I had a bear come in my yard and chase the moose that got wrapped up in my swing set, and the bear is hauling the moose into the woods with my swing set. So I don't like bears. That's not an exaggeration. Anyway, so I'm by myself. I'm walking, you know, I feel like Dorothy, you know. I mean, that's how I felt. I just was watching the bushes, and I'm walking along, and I could just see the bear go, whoa, that's it. You know, Hail Mary's anything I could remember. My heart was going 100 miles an hour. I was never so scared in my life, but I just kept walking and walking and walking. And I went, hey, wait a minute. There's not any trees this high. And all of a sudden, boom, it was just sunny. And I could see the Kuskokwim again. And I stepped out, I looked back, I still couldn't see anybody that was with me. It was like everyone was gone. It was like everything in life was erased. I mean, I was in a walking vision. So I walked on down where this pullout was, where there's this place, a sanding place where they get sand. I went over to the edge, and I just stood there, and I started praying, and the Lord showed up. And he comes over, and he takes my bangs, and I'm talking about Jesus. And he takes my bangs, and he flips them like that, and he said, thank you for letting me use you to minister my people on this river. And I went, oh, yeah? What about Henry? And I start crying. What about Henry? I'm over here doing your stuff. You're supposed to be taking care of Henry. I mean, I'm his wife, and he's sick, and he's in the hospital, and he needs me. I was crying. And he goes, flips my bangs again. And he said, and I want you to come back. And I just sat there for a minute. Do you remember this, Liz? I just sat there for a minute. Meanwhile, her testimony, you got to hear her testimony. They're all over the mountainside screaming and yelling, what happened to Nancy? What happened to Nancy? How long was it? It was a long time. How could a person just disappear? I was gone, you guys. Now, either both her and I are flakes, or I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, so, oh my gosh. Anyway. Amazing, isn't it? And so he said again, you know, that he wanted me to come back. I said, all right, I'll come back in three conditions. I don't know where it came from. Three conditions. One, I said, I need a way better boat when I come back here for my use. I want an unlimited gas for that boat. And I want a place to stay when I come over here without problem. Because it's Alaska Native land, and you can't buy property over there. And I just left it at that, got back, and I threw myself at my husband. I was just totally tore up. And he goes, Nancy, it's okay. I'm okay. He said, please don't steal this from me. And I went, what? And he said, all our marriage, I could never understand your compassion. All our marriage. He said, you would get up in the middle of the night and go to the hospital. You'd get up in the middle of the night, go down there and with your weeping friends, and you'd pray them through. And he said, I just wanted you to come back to bed. You know, I would get up and go start the car for you in the dead of the winter to go all the way over to Sedona. I hated it. I felt guilty. I had to go back to bed. I thought, why does she care? He said, I laid there in that bed and nobody knew I had pneumonia. Our very own daughter came and knocked on the door and said, Dad, are you okay? Because Dad didn't answer. She thought he was dead and she left. And she wouldn't go back to the house. She was, you know, she's mentally ill. She did not want to be the one to have to tell me. So she let him lay there. I mean, he hasn't had pneumonia since, by the way, and he had pneumonia a lot when he was young. I mean, God healed him. But he said, I know what it is. Now, somebody calls, he's out there, then the phone rings. He's getting his pants on to go start the car. Now, I'm not even there, and he'll go, guess where I'm headed? I'm headed over to the hospital for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Even those that are consistent in and out of the hospital like Carter Pills, he's over there. You know what I mean? He's over there. Everyone counts. He said, one of the things that I laid there and said over and over is, God, please don't ever let me know somebody lay in a bed like this for the rest of my life and dying alone. Never again. Isn't that awesome? It still didn't make me happy. Well, the next time I went over to the Kuskokwim, I get off of the plane. By the way, I didn't tell anybody what my wish list was, and it was just out of spite. I was mad at God. And I am just this kid, okay? We have our differences. Anyway, I got off the plane, and I walked around, and this guy is sitting in this boat. Well, I said a specific boat. I wanted one of those boats that you go in and that you can go in shallow water, and, you know, you can get into those places where some of those fish camps are, because there was places we couldn't get in because of the fact the water would be too low and we couldn't get in there. I just couldn't get in there. And so I had a specific thing I'd asked for, and guess what? I got off the plane, and I went over to another place. I was going to get on another plane to go down the river, and somebody had died, and I was going over there to support the family, actually. And so what do? I see this guy sitting in this boat that is still in plastic wrap. It just flew in with the same plane I came in with. I said, "Where did you get a new boat?" And he says, "Well, it was given to us." And then he pulls this card out and says, "And unlimited gas." And I know who did it, and I did not tell him to do that. Amen? I didn't tell him my secret. And then by the time we got down to wherever we were staying, you know, things have changed now, I think, maybe not. But they just told me if I ever went over there again, there was this little cabin outside of this house, and I was welcome to stay in that anytime. Just exactly how I asked the Lord. I know that I have a home away from home over there if I want to go over there just to rest or do ministry or whatever. I mean, since then, I'm sure that boat has been thrashed and he's gotten another boat. But, I mean, God was faithful. Amen? Wasn't he, Liz? Absolutely, wasn't he? 100%. Isn't that amazing? God listens and God talks to us. And there's times that we are isolated and alone. And he talks to us and he gives us plans. And he says, this is going to happen. Whether you're going to be faithful or not, it's going to happen. Amen? Whether you're going to be throwing a fit, whatever you're going to do. So here I am going through the airport or through the lobby of the hotel, and the Holy Spirit says to me, I'm going to give you the word for 2014. He said, it is the sound of the Lord, and that's why I got a shofar. Is this my shofar over here? Liz and I went right over to the, when I got back, went over, because I have one, a big one, but it kind of is for the church, you know, that I brought back from Israel. But we went to the Bible bookstore, and I said, I want a little one that I can travel with because I think this year we're going to need it. Amen? And it fits in my suitcase fine. My clothes just roll around, and it's fine. So anyway, he said, it is about the sound, and this is a year. It's the, what is it, the Feast of the Horns? It started that day he started speaking to me. Isn't that interesting? I found this out afterwards. He said it's going to be a sound, and he said the first sound is I want you to tell them that I am going to create alliances and opportunities for alliances over the next year. Nancy, do you know what alliance means? And I went through some things. I love history. I know what World War I, II. I knew what you know, the Civil War was about, the Revolutionary War. I love to study wars. I love to learn strategy. I love to learn how I can see God's hand in it and how I can't. Amen? It's very, very interesting to me. My husband is just amazed. He'll come in from work and he'll see that the TV's on some old war films, or I'm on the History Channel on wars. I can't remember the name of it, but it's Military History Channel, I think. Or even Braveheart, you guys. Henry will go, uh-oh. We got Braveheart on. Are you getting ready for another ministry? That's what he used to say. I'd be ironing away, man, just slaying those bad guys. Anyway, this is me. Amen? Praying through. So, alliance. What is he talking about? Why does he want us to form alliance? What is it wrong? What's wrong with America that God is saying, I want an alliance in America? I want my Christians to come together. I want the body of Christ to come together. Look to your right and look to your left at all the churches and how we will not cross over, how we're worried about proselyting, how we're worried one is charismatic and one isn't, and we get ourselves all tangled up and confused and frustrated and etc. And the next thing you know, we don't even go to church anymore because now we don't like organized church. And what we're doing is literally judging the bride of Christ. And it's breaking God's heart. And he wants to bring us together. Amen? To form an alliance for the end of the means. What is the end of the means? If you don't know it, no wonder you can't come together. Amen? No wonder we can't come together. Amen? So I said, okay, I'll talk about alliance. Alliance is unity. It's coming together for the common good. You may have all kinds of differences. Just like in this room, we have all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of differences. I mean, there we got our conservative, we got our quiet, and we got our loud. We got one running around the room, another one over there dancing, another one up here hooting and hollering, one minute crying, one minute just giving the word of God. I mean, we got one over here speaking, trying to mimic Ben. And, you know, we've got such an array of personalities and colors and everything that God wants to bring together. And we'll come together for something like this. But how do we come together in the church? I mean, how do we come together in our homes? How do we come together in our workplace? And, oh, how do we come together in our politics? If God be God, we got to come together and form an alliance for the common good. Amen? I don't want to lose any more ground. How many of you feel like we're losing ground? I want to take it back. Yes. Amen? Amen? Joshua stood on the shores of the Jordan. And you know, one of the things that Joshua had to do was get that army prepared. And he had to believe that God was going to do something awesome. And you know God did? You know what he did? Remember, he parted the Red Sea. He said, just lift up the staff. They run across. Here comes Pharaoh and the army, and they're gone. Then they wander around in the desert, and they don't trust God. I don't know what God can do over and over and over for us, and we're back in that, I don't know if I should do that. You know? But there's Joshua, and he's waiting to go across. And what does God do? He lifts the water and pushes it all the way back to a city. Adam. The city of Adam. Let's go back to the beginning. You're going to go back to the beginning and go over the Jordan, and you're going to take the land of the milk and honey. Now, he didn't say it was going to be easy. They were going to have to take it by force. Amen? The kingdom of God takes it by violence, by force. Amen? Don't you ever go to sleep on me again. I'm teasing. She didn't, I'm teasing. She won't, though. And so there he does. He lifts the water, pushes it all back to the city of Adam. And what I believe that he was saying, if we have ears to hear, is let's go back to the beginning. We've got kind of off off the track here. Let's go back to the beginning and start over. Amen? Let's not forget anything. You forgot some things. Let's go back and find them, pick them up, and let's run with them. Amen?
Yes.
So I'm all excited about that. Alliance. And God's going to finish my sentences on that because you're going to start hearing ally, you're going to see alignment, you're going to see unity, and find out how you can step into that and do something for God. Amen? Amen? Even this weekend, unity. Go across the room to a total stranger and let them know that they're welcome in this place. Amen? And they will always be. So then... good grief. How many places have you ever gone? You know, when Jesus took all the people up on the mountain, the 4,000 or 5,000 people, there they are up there. They have no food, and they don't have any potty houses. I ordered two. They're sitting out there at the end of the building if you guys have a need. Isn't that awesome? I'm not making you go out in the woods. Jesus had to make them go out in the woods. I got you some potty houses out here. Amen? Come on, you guys, loosen up. I'm trying to sift you. Okay, so the next word he says is, I have three words for you, Nancy, that you're going to tell them. I also want to tell you that I want you to get a shofar when you get back to Anchorage, and I'm leaving from Atlanta, Georgia, to fly back to Alaska. I have to stop in Minneapolis, and he's given me this word from every point of view that and asked me questions, and I asked him questions. I wanted to be clear. And as I'm going along, when I finally got to Minneapolis, I called Sarah Tarter. I said, get your shofar, bring it into town. We're going to go up on the mountain like the Lord asked me to do. And she said, okay, I'll bring my shofar. She can blow it pretty good. Anyway, so these are the three words that he gave me. And one of them was, you want to put that back up there? Yeah, that one. The first thing he said, listen to the sound of prayer. And I know if you've already heard this, please listen to it again. He'll give you more on it, I'm sure. But listen to the sound of prayer. He said, listen to how people are praying. Are they praying out of rote? Are they praying out of faith? Are they praying about what they prayed yesterday? Is it fresh and new every day? How are they praying? Are they praying life or death? But mostly, are they praying in faith? Listen to the sound of prayer. And I'm telling you, you'll find yourself... Don't be judgmental, by the way, but you'll find yourself weighing what people are praying. And it's going to just keep bringing you into alignment. And it isn't a matter of us praying eloquently. That's not what it's about. Not at all. And you'll see what I mean as you start moving in this understanding. Then he said, I want you to tell them to listen to the sound of their praise. How are you praising God, as we said earlier, mainly? Because I said, is this singing? Are you talking about singing, worshiping? He said, no. I'm talking about how do they honor me? Do they praise me for who I am or for what I've done? And it's important to listen to and pay attention and honor him for what he's done. But we need to praise him for who he is. So on the airplane, I had my Bible, and I was listening to the Lord, it just seems like anymore that sometimes he just touches my heart so much, they just flow so freely. And see, when I was a little kid, I didn't cry very much. We weren't allowed to cry. I wasn't allowed to cry. If I cried, and if I did cry, it was a big reason, I was met with punishment. Not like probably any of you in this room would even know. But I was met with punishment, and I was told I would be given something to cry about, and I would be. So I was very guarded about my emotions, my feelings. The first time, besides my husband, the first friend I ever had in my life was Debbie Grimes. She was the first person in my life. I never, ever, it took her a couple of years to do it. It did. But I wasn't letting anybody in. That's how I recognized Debbie, this one, because I recognized what I did and how I was afraid. And it's a risk to love somebody. It's a risk. And you may get hurt, but I'll tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. I think Debbie and I have been best friends for how many years? 34 years. And it was because she kept knocking on my heart until one day I told her about the loss of my baby. She says, "Do you realize you never have talked to me about that before?" And I cried. That was the beginning. I can't get rid of her. So let's look at some words about praising God. Think about this. Number one, that's it. God is one. God is one. When you think about when you're going and you're doing, remember this, you're never alone. If God be with you, you're one with Him. Amen? If you're here and you're sincere about what's going on here tonight, you are one with God and with me and with Debbie and with Lisa and with my brothers that are here to help as well. We're one. We're like a tree with many branches. Our roots go deep, 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 deep. Amen? God is one and we're one with Him. Amen? Praise Him because of that. Then it's God is spirit. And I'll tell you, if God's spirit and God be in me, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm spiritual. Amen? If I'm talking spirit and you think, whoa, that's just way out there, that's all right. I'll wait for you. Amen? God is infinite. God is eternal. From beginning to end, He will always be there, and He's unchanging. Amen? It's something that you can count on for the rest of your life. God is unchanging. God is one. He's infinite. Amen? He's a being in His being. He's wisdom. He's power. He's strength. Am I describing you? Some of you? Am I describing you? Do you believe? Do you believe? If you believe, guess what? This power, this strength, His holiness, His goodness, His justice, His compassion, His mercy, His righteousness, His grace, His wisdom, His knowledge. This is what we praise Him for. This is who He is. And it's so comforting to know, if you believe, only requirement, if you believe, it's all in you. Now listen to this. God cares about me. He's loving. God is better than I think. He's good. God is bigger than I think. He's infinite. God is not moody. He's unchangeable. God is not weak. He's all powerful. God is close to everywhere. His presence is everywhere. He's not omnipresent, however you say that. Got right down there in, my tongue went the other way. God is never surprised. He's omnipotent. God is never frustrated. He's patient. God always knows what to do. He's wise. Have you ever noticed when you're walking with the Lord and at peace with yourself, you're just pouring out with wisdom? Have you noticed that? It's like you kind of stand back and go, man, how did I know that? Amen? God has no limits. He's eternal. God is a lover. He's jealous. Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever walked in a righteous jealousy? I have. I get jealous, extremely jealous, when I see a friend starting to stumble and go another way. I am so jealous for God for them. I mean, my burden isn't that they're rejecting me. That's not it at all. I get jealous of their relationship, and I just want him to get back on track. Get back in his face. Be accountable. My friends will tell you I never give up on him. I've never given up on a friend. And that's not anything to say that I am so tough and whatever. It's everything to say God's the boss. Amen? God's the boss. Do I dump sometimes? Yes, I do. Okay? God is never frustrated because he's patient. I'd like a little more of that. God always knows what to do. Again, he's wise. He's full of compassion. He leans toward compassion. Compassion is his first reaction. Amen? Which means he's merciful. God never gives up. He's faithful. God is better than anyone you know. He's holy. Amen? God is an artist. He's creative. Excuse me. God is above all. He's here. Amen. I know, my little peanut gallery over here. So, here he is talking to us to focus on, listen to the sound of your praise. Listen to the sound of a pastor that'll get up and start orchestrating the prayer for the Father for the place. Listen to the how authentic it is. Or is it rote? Is it something practiced? Is it something formed? Is it sincere? God loves our sincere praise. Amen? Practice. Get in your word. Get in your word. Open up to it and start praising his holy name and watch what happens to you. If you communion, I had somebody call me one time and they go, how often can you take communion? I did say all day long, whenever he calls you to do it. But I'll tell you, it'll be to your benefit. Because when you commune with the Lord, it shows on you all day. It's all over you. People can tell it. I mean, it's when you commune with the Lord, your life starts changing. Your life is thinking on him before it's thinking on the world. Your reactions, because of your communion with the Lord, causes you to shift out of the world pressures and the love of God in how you walk out. You know, the island of Metlakatla, there was a man that came to me, and he was a former pedophile in this church, and he was an elder in the church. He was an elder in the church, and he was licensed in the community, you know, how you have to let them know they're a pedophile. And registered is the word, yes, thank you. So anyway, I'm at this church and I'm ministering, and there are people that I was meeting all over the island that wanted to come and hear me speak, but they didn't want to come in that church because there was a man in that church that was a pedophile, and he was an elder in the church. Yeah, it was a big wow. And yet there were some men in that room that had been married and divorced who could not be an elder or any kind, couldn't do the instruments or whatever because he went through a divorce. So me and that pastor had a little powwow. You know, I wasn't coming against the pedophile, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I was coming against the injustice of a man that went through a divorce and they were young, stupid kids and made mistakes and they got right and loved the Lord, and that is a huge black mark on them. And we did have a lot of talks about it. That pastor changed the rules. And he's in a major denomination in across the United States. Some of you may know which one I'm talking about. But anyway, the pedophile comes to me, and he is so repentive. He said he has never done that since he was younger, and everybody looks at him like he's low life, and you know, he just cried and cried and cried, and I said, you just need to forgive yourself. That's what I'm seeing. So the next day I saw him and we talked, and I said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go down to the post office and the little store, and I just want you to go down there and just stand And he says, what do you want me to do? And I said, I want you to bless everybody that walks in that store or that post office. Just bless them in the name of the Lord. He said, really? Oh, I'm too scared to do that. They'd be mad at me. They'd just think I thought I was better than myself. And I said, no. And if they give you some kind of attitude of they don't feel good or they're having a problem, offer to pray for them in the name of the Lord. Guess what? He did that. Guess what that did to his reputation? See, God loves them all. Amen? It wasn't my place to judge him, but I did deal with the pastor. Were you with me on that time? Who was with me? Somebody said, yeah. I don't remember who was over there with me, but yes, we stayed up late that night talking, and I said I had a hard time understanding the justification. Amen? So, I am about the Father's business of it impressing you to listen to the sound of how you're praying and how other people are praying, what you're receiving, what you're rejecting, and then how do you praise, and how are you listening to the praise. And if you have a pastor that's getting up in front of your church and you don't have hear any praise out of his mouth toward God, you start standing up in the church and praising God and see how it'll change. Amen? That's an alliance. Make a difference. Amen? Align yourself with God and watch the church start coming into alliance. Amen? It's a little start, but it's a biggie. So anyway, then the third one is prophecy. Listen to sound of prophecy. You guys haven't heard any of this yet, have you, Evelyn? Okay, the sound of prophecy. Okay. You know, my back goes up because you know, God has always lectured me since I was 40 years old to be careful listening to the prophets. And he's been real specific with me and saying, I don't want you getting mixture. He spoke to my husband. He instructed my husband to instruct me to guard my heart on listening to prophecy. And he took Henry in the Old Testament about the scriptures that say the prophets prophesied to the prophets. So you have to be careful. You know, you got to be able to weed it out good. Well, I don't have a lot of time to be screening all the multi-million words that people, well-meaning people, send to me all the time. But they do. A lot of them send them because they'll hear what I'm saying 6 months before others are coming out with it, and they want to confirm it or whatever, but it still isn't good for me. I don't read them. But anyway, if they give me kind of a summation of what it is, that's really nice because I'm not going to read it. But anyway, what is he saying? What does this prophecy mean? And I did. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, what I'm talking about is the prophecy that you're prophesying to your wife. How you speak to her. You speak those things as if they are or aren't. Amen? It's how you speak into your kids and how you build them up or you tear them down. It's how you, you know, how you have in that working relationship, especially if you don't have an alliance and work, how you're speaking to each other and what's coming out because it's life or death. Either you're tearing down or you're building up. And, you know, I have a friend that I remember when I first met her, her job was horrible. Her job was horrible. The working situation was horrible. I mean, it was like she'd go home complaining. It was causing a problem in her marriage. Her husband said, you know, one day she was trying to talk to him, and he just walked off while she was talking. And she said, did you just walk off on me? And he said, I did, because I'm getting tired of hearing it. I don't bring my work home. I'm just tired of hearing it. And so I made a point of setting my alarm, getting up early, and calling her on her way to work to pray with her. And yes, mentor her. Till she finally got to the point she felt a little bit better about herself. And I said, I want you, what's the closest room to your boss? She said, it's the bathroom. I said, good, perfect. I said, when you go to the bathroom, I want you to go in the bathroom, put your hands on the wall facing your boss's office, and start praying blessings on him. Praying blessings on them. Very shortly later, he found a new job and left. He did. And I said, Lord, I didn't do this so somebody else gets these problems. Change him. Lord, please change him. So then a new teacher comes, or a new boss comes in, and everybody in district knows this new boss is very controlling, very manipulative, and is mass, what is that word? They got to do everything. Micromanager. And it was okay for a little while. There was a little bit of a honeymoon with the new boss, and then it did. It started crumbling really bad, worse than it was before. And I said, get on duty in that bathroom. And I said, this is what the Lord told me. He told me you will be the favorite. And this boss will start coming to you for advice. This boss will come to your office, so to speak, and sit in your office and ask for counsel, even though she's way older than you. And guess what? She is the favorite. She is the one that leads the counsel and the encouragement. Amen? Is that exciting? So listen to how you speak and how you prophesy, how you can change the course of time and the course of circumstances. Amen? Build up or tear down. Amen? Build up or tear down. Okay. So the last word before I, you know, bring it to a real close is the last word is, he said, you know, a lot of this has to do, nothing I'm saying is going to make any difference if you don't have an understanding of your inheritance. Do you know who you are, and do you know what's in you, and you know the promises of God for you as a child of God? Do you know your inheritance? And there's lots of places through Christ Jesus that we know we have our inheritance. Amen? And this year is going to be a journey for you if you wrote those things down and you consider those things along the way. Now, you're on a journey. You're on a journey. You're just like Joshua right there by the water's edge, ready to go into battle. Right? And I truly want to give you an example of a lion. It's out of chapter 10 of, I think it's 2 Kings, chapter 13, I think, verse 14. That's where it starts. And that's that story of Elijah when he was dying. He had a disease. He was on his deathbed. King Joaz comes, and he's saying his goodbyes, and King Joaz is sitting there, and Elijah gets off his deathbed and says, you know, you need to get a bow and arrow. So he did. What's that? He gets a bow and arrow. Here, Deb, pull those off for me. And so he gets a bow and arrow, and he says, I string it. And he did. Gird your hearts. Remember last night I told you? And he gets the bow and arrow, and, you know, I always pondered this scripture. I didn't have full understanding of it until the Lord gave it to me. Isn't that the way it works? Make sure I have this right. I'm going to go and get me a deer. You got rules in Georgia? Okay. Would you come on up here? Be mine. Okay, so King Joaz gets his bow and arrow, and he says, okay, so go ahead and hold that for me, okay? You're going to point it over there here in just a minute. That's why I wanted him to move. Yeah. Okay, so Elijah gets out of bed and goes over to him, and he takes and he says, open that window. And he opened that window, and he opened the window, and he said, shoot through that window. And he shot through that window. He shot through that window. Now, what's that all about? And then he goes on, and he says, get some arrows. And he grabs a handful of arrows, and Elijah says, bang the ground. He says, God wants to give you victory over Syria. So bang the ground. Hit the ground. And King Joaz goes. And Elijah, he freaks out. And he said, what did you do? Why don't you hit him more than that? Maybe 5 or 6 times. He said, now you can only get 3 battles instead of taking victory over Syria. Yeah. What's that all about? What is that all about? I'll tell you what that's about. Number one, shooting out the window the way that Elijah told him to do that, that was a sign back in the ancient days when you wanted to go to war with a city, a village, a country, you would take and shoot an arrow into their camp, and it was a sign to them, hey, you got 30 days to get out of this country, out of this village, out of this town, or we go to war to death. We're taking our country back, our village back, whatever. It's like the OK Corral, you know. If you want to stay, I'll meet you at noon and we'll do a shootout to death. Or you better get out of town. That's it. You got till 12 o'clock noon. Same theology out of the Old Testament. And then the beating of the arrows was... Why did Elijah get so upset? I mean, he died right after this. I don't know if it pushed him over. But he was so upset. And he was upset because of this. And this is what our problem is today. We have become weak Willy Winkles. We have. And it's a word, I just made it up, so don't try to guess it. What it is he says in the New Testament, in Matthew 11, it talks about, for the kingdom of God, the violent take it by force. In other words, I'm taking it back. I'm taking my kids back, my job back, my health back, my life back. In the name of Jesus, I want victory. I want to unify. I want to align with my brothers and sisters. I can't do it by myself. Amen? I'm going to pray with all my heart. Amen? I'm going to praise with all my heart. Amen? And guess what? I'm going to prophesy life and not death. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 Yes, the Lion Judah. That's my partner. Amen? Let's take the kingdom back, you guys. Let's take it back by force. The violent take it by force. We're not going to wait around anymore. You have rights. Let yourself be separated and counted. You want to go over the river? He said, I'll take it all the way back. You won't be by yourself. I'll give you everything you need. I will make the provision. I couldn't have gone around the nation and prayed like I did. I couldn't have gone to Israel and prayed around their nation like I did. I wouldn't have gone to 49 countries and prayed in their countries. And me talk to prime ministers and different leaders across the way. Or go into those places where they have the legal eagles and they want to know, why were you here? Why were you here? Why were you here? You ought to see my passport. And every one of them knows why I was there. Israel even met me at the gate of Greece. Separated Sarah and I. Made our bags go either direction. We hadn't even got to the ticket counter. We just came in the door and their security was on us like that. Pulling us, separating us, asking us questions. Took our IDs, our passports. They didn't even open them and look at them. They went, where have you been since you came to Europe? Now, how did they know I didn't just fly there? They knew why. And you're flying into Israel to what? To go to the capital and pray as God's directed me in all these other countries. There were Israelis, that security, because I was going to Israel from Greece. Tears went down his face. He gave me my stuff back. And he said, I thank God for you to go to my country and pray. And he did the same thing to Sarah over there. They asked the same questions. They did get together and discuss. I told Sarah, don't ever lie. Just be honest. That was the reason I got to go into mainland China and be their first speaker of Jesus Christ in over 100 years because they said I behaved myself and I always said the truth. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to go over the river? Some of you, I know you are. Some of you have been over the river and back. Amen? We're going to make it. Amen? And guess what? You better get used to me. I'm used to you. Because we're going to be together eternally. Amen? And I'm going to come visit you. I like tea. Amen? Everybody stand up. Tonight, I pray that you were downloaded with blessings. If you want to get prayer, there's people here that will pray for you. But I believe tomorrow night is going to be the launching pad. Tomorrow night, I'll tell you what God's plan is not like nothing you've ever seen. You're going to want to duplicate it, and I just encourage you to. What's going to happen and what we're going to do. And just be brave to come back and bring your friends back tomorrow night and wait and see what's going to happen. You're going to get prayer. You're going to be known. You were touched by God. We are just going to be instruments, but God is going to touch you tomorrow night. Amen? Tonight I had to just catch up my friends on this message. They had not heard it yet. Did you like it? It's powerful, isn't it? Amen? Let's listen to the sound. Do you want to know something? You're the sound. You're the sound. You're the sound. What kind of sound are you making? Amen? Let me hear it. What is it? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You guys have a good night's sleep. Come back tomorrow. We have some awesome workshops planned for you. Come back. I mean, there'll be food here. We'll feed you. And I have a couple of outhouses out there. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen?